It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
Ring. Hello? Get a life, creep. Click. Ring, ring. Hello?
I said...
And that is the sound that you'll hear so much in this week's movie on B-Movie Breakdown, Student Bodies. This is episode number 35. I'm Corey.
I'm DRC. And this is one of my favorite movies ever.
It was... I honestly didn't realize... Fully, I guess I should have paid attention more when you were telling me about the movie that it was a parody, because I thought I was watching a horror movie, and then right off the bat, it's very obviously a parody. I mean, the thing in the beginning I was kind of thrown off by, I was like, what's with this, like,
Halloween.
Yeah, well, Friday that was 13th, funny, yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis's birthday.
But yeah, this is B-Movie Breakdown, a weekly podcast where we find the humor, enjoyment, lesser-known, low-budget films of the past and present. Lately, we've been stuck in the 80s, and it feels pretty damn good to be summer of the 80s is what it feels like. So, yeah, this movie was made... What year exactly did this come
1981.
Out? 1981. Just going on the cusp of the 80s right there. So, yeah, but you can find us on our website, bnbpodcast.com, on iTunes. Just search B&B, or just search B-Movie Breakdown. I think you can search B&B Podcast as well. While you're there, leave us a 5-star review. That'd help us out. Stars.
Five star, five star, five star, five star, five star podcast, sucker.
Just like this movie, I'm sure it got 5 stars from Roger Ebert. I have no idea Roger Ebert's thoughts on Student Bodies. He probably didn't even bother reviewing the film. But yeah, and then you can reach us at on our Twitter at BNB Podcast or on our email, bnbpodcast@gmail.com. Well, let's get into this week's movie, Student Bodies. Like I said, it kind of threw me off in the beginning. It starts off with this thing. This motion picture is based on an actual incident. Last year, 26 horror films were released. None of them lost money. I was kind of like, all right, this is kind of weird. And then I was just like, that's kind of, it threw me off. And then the credits start rolling, and I noticed the movie was produced by Alan Smithy. Alan Smithy is a name... people would throw in there when they wanted their name not to be associated with movies.
Hmm.
So if you ever see directed by Alan Smithy, it'll be like some director or producer or something that ended up not wanting their name to be attached to the movie.
I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's just like there's tons of movies directed and written and whatever by Alan Smithy. And this movie is a movie produced by Alan Smithy, a fictional person. So, yeah, there we go. Yeah, like you were saying right off the bat, Friday the 13th, then it fades to black. Halloween fades to black. Jamie Lee Curtis's birthday. It's like, oh, all right. Yeah, I didn't know that was right away. I got that it was a parody, but I didn't know that going into it. And I like how the girl in the beginning, what was her name? I didn't catch
Julie.
Her name. Julie. Her friend Toby, who ends up being the main character throughout the movie, basically calls her up and is like, don't get all wild and crazy, because wild and crazy things happen when you get wild and crazy.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And wild and crazy people do people do wild and crazy things. Sometimes wild and crazy things happen to them.
Oh, yeah, like murder. And you were mentioning how she called her up and said, like, the answer to the Civil War question for the homework was the North won.
Yeah, she goes, heavy.
And for a second, I almost thought that girl was the same girl from The Pit. But then I realized it wasn't. None of these people went on to do anything.
No,
there's not
no.
a single... Like, there's a couple people in this movie that made, like, some appearances in some other movies, but they didn't really have any significant roles or anything like that. I think maybe the guy who said who was the breather, which we don't even...
Richard Brando.
See, or whatever... is had apparently been on the Dick Van Dyke Show and a few other things. But other than that, nobody in this movie did anything with their careers. unfortunately. One person that I wish would have done something with their career was the guy who plays you said it was Malvert, right?
Right.
See, I kept thinking it was Malfred. Just the way they kept saying it, I don't know, it was very weird, but that guy, I need to look
up. We don't even know his name, they credit him as the Stick.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me look
it says, introducing the Stick as Malvert.
The Stick?
Yeah.
What? I totally missed that. I need to figure out what this guy's name is, because it is... He is the weirdest looking guy. I always thought, like, if you've ever seen House of a Thousand Corpses or Devil's Rejects, there's the character that plays Tiny was a guy, a very tall, lanky guy, kind of similar, but he was like special needs. He was on Howard Stern and ended up being in those couple movies, and right before he passed away was in Devil's Rejects. But he was kind of like special needs, and he was just kind of awkward, and he wasn't as like goofy as this guy was. I mean, like,
he's got to be like quintuple jointed or something. Like his arms swing both ways when he walks.
And he's like whipping his arms behind him and like underneath his legs. And like, they're like, his arms, like, okay, a normal person's arms, like mine go a little bit past my waist. Like a normal person. Mm-hmm. His, like, literally, he's so tall, but he almost had like a small torso that it, like, his arms went down to like his knees.
Yeah.
It was like, he was just like really goofy looking. He was. Oh, God. Multiple times I wrote down, yeah, the Stick, Malvert the Janitor, on IMDb. The Stick.
Is that the only thing he's done?
I'm going to look at... Oh, and I was going to mention the dog meowing.
Oh, yeah.
And that dog was named... His dog's name was Zeno. it was credited as meowing dog, but Zeno the dog. I wonder if Zeno the dog ever did anything else.
Why couldn't he have been Zenu?
No.
A creepy Scientology connection.
Literally, the Stick. Trivia. He was a stand-up comedian.
Hmm.
They say his height was 6'3", but he looked way taller than 6'3".
Hmm. I don't know. When they showed him walking next to Miss Mumbly, it could just be that she was pretty short.
And apparently he was on a TV series called Out of Control as himself.
Hmm.
As the Stick. I don't know what this show was. It was a show for Nickelodeon. It was the first show produced for Nickelodeon, actually. It's called Out of Control. It was on for 1 year. And this guy was on one episode as the Stick. Like, I can't believe that was this guy's name. There needs to be more. Somebody needs to, like, make a documentary, like, figuring out who this guy was. Like, the legend of the Stick. Something like
that. I wonder
if
he's still alive.
I don't know. Who knows? That could have been like a horror movie, even The Legend of the Stick.
Maybe he played the Slender Man in Marble Hornets.
What's that?
It's a YouTube series produced by
the Slender Man, like that video game with the white face.
Is there a video game?
It's like some video game. It's like all in darkness, and then there's like some creepy guy in a suit with like no face.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
I guess they made a game off of that, but yeah. No, it was like a, I guess kind of like a Blair Witch style thing, or like
that's
people
what the game
are looking
looks like,
into,
yeah.
Yeah, people are looking into the legend of this weird guy, and then he, you know, starts, you know, turning up on the fringes of like their cameras and like haunting them and like.
Yeah, that's what the game is called, Slender Man or something, and you can download it.
Yeah, the YouTube series is called Marble Hornets, and yeah.
Oh, all right, I'll have to check. Now, I've always wondered, like, what I see people dressed up as that, and like, cosplay, and things like that, and I saw the game, I know there's a couple YouTube, or iPhone apps you can download that game, and but the main game is Slender Man. It's, like, downloaded on your computer for free. Yeah, but that guy could play Mac's dad in Mac and Me.
Yeah.
And his fingers were insanely long.
Oh, yeah.
Like, were there prosthetics on his fingers, at least?
I don't think so.
Because, like, those were some insanely long fingers.
Like, he had this weird, like, finger-crossing thing.
And
he was pointing at somebody, too. He was just like...
And the way he walked, even, was just like...
Yeah.
Like, almost like a... like an ape, like Bigfoot or something, you know, like, well, I don't know what Bigfoot walks like, because it's not real, but like in that, there's always that one video of him like walking, yeah. Like just that, he had that like walk to him, like,
except
like,
his elbows bend both ways.
Yeah. So. Well, his arms, when they moved, they just went everywhere. Like, yeah. Literally as if he had no control over them. He was I was just like, this guy is literally like some sort of creature, or he's an alien. Like, there's no other, and clearly nobody knows his fucking name, because he's just the stick.
Not even the internet knows. Oh my god.
This is like some fucking conspiracy shit right here. Hans is like, seriously, the stick. I need to figure out more things about
him. Maybe you'll start investigating him, and then the Slender Man will come after you.
It'll be him. He'll just be like,
he'll be swaying drunkenly like Mac's dad.
He won't even be trying to do anything or kill me or anything. He'll just be like, because that's the way he talked, even like, Mrs. Malfort. He was just like literally a cartoon character.
Yep.
Like, that's the best way to describe him.
And then they'll have him throw in, like, creepy lines, like, sex kills. Oh.
Yeah, and then it was like, you took this, like, the person that gets unmasked at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode and, like, peeled him out of the cartoon and, like, stuck him into this movie. Like, literally, Mr. Malvert was the one killing or terrorizing the carnival. Like, oh, it wasn't for these pesky kids. Oh. Very, very, very weird character. Had some very, very interesting things to say. After this, there wasn't too many horror parody movies, really, until Scary Movie. That right. Kind of like, there is another one, and I know it's on Netflix, and we can watch it sometime. It's called Saturday the 14th.
Oh!
And I've never seen it.
Me neither. I heard it mentioned in reviews for this on Amazon. But...
Oh, really? We'll have to watch it one time then. Yeah, I've never seen Saturday the 14th. I'm pretty sure it's still on Netflix. I don't know why something like that would go away. But Rockula went away too, so who knows. We were talking about the beginning of the movie with Julie and...
Her boyfriend. I missed his name. They mentioned it. I missed it.
Yeah, I missed it too. I went to go write it down, and then I ended up scribbling that space I left there for it, because I didn't fucking know what his name was. But when the breather, who is the killer's name in the movie, is the breather. You never see this person. It's kind of revealed, half-assed.
Right, but much like Ghostface and Scream, you know, it's like a different guy doing the voice, doing the stalking, then the killers end up being just like Roger Jackson is the voice of Ghostface. And...
Yeah, but when he's on the phone the one time, something comes through.
It spurts out too.
And I couldn't tell if it was spit or if it was supposed to be cum. I kind of in my head was like, all right, it's cum.
As a kid who didn't know any better, I thought it was spit. Then when I rewatched it as an adult, like, oh, that was cum, because it spurts out at first too. It was just like, oh.
Yeah. I wasn't too sure, but I could probably guess it. It's like a 80-20 thing going on here. I think it's, you know.
Maybe it's a mixture of both.
Yeah. Oh, man, spit.
His drool dribbled onto his dick right before he shot.
It even made that like noise as it came through the phone too. So
I love how you launched spit against the wall as you did that.
Sorry.
The good thing I was leaning to the left.
Back and to the left. To the left. And I like how Julie made her boyfriend take a shower.
Oh,
before
right.
They had sex.
Well, he wants to do it right there in the kitchen. She's like, no, not here, upstairs, where the kid she's babysitting is probably sleeping. No, let's go fuck in my client's bed, where they'll find out about it.
And these clients...
And take a shower in the bathroom that's attached to their bedroom.
And these clients never are seen again after this, after the funeral. You don't ever see these people again.
Right,
And you never saw their kids, either.
No.
So, I don't know what she was doing. I assume she was babysitting their kids, but we never saw the kids. The wife is so insane.
Oh, yeah, like, she's... I know it's 1981, but she's only paying this girl 75 cents an hour, and then she gets pissed that she didn't do the dishes. Oh, I know, but hang on. She gets pissed she didn't do the dishes when you see the sink is just overloaded with crap that's obviously been dirty for days. You didn't hire a maid, you hired a babysitter, you fucking cunt.
while you're here, you know, make sure you clean all of our dishes, you know, clean the whole fucking house.
And then she
gets
pissed like, oh, maybe she's watching TV. She better not be watching TV at 75 cents an hour.
75 cents an hour. The key. And then when she goes to the funeral, when they go to the funeral, they give the mom of Julie's mom the money she would have earned minus gas. For picking her up to bring her there.
Oh, here's gas fare too, but one way, of course.
Yeah. Know? And changes it from 75 cents to 65 cents. Fucking cheated her mom out of 10 cents per hour. Like, already getting paid so little of money, but...
Well, how about when Julie got surprised by her boyfriend and she was taking a bite out of a chicken leg and then it lands, like... The chicken leg with the bite out of it, and then the bite she had taken out of it, which is still somehow neat and clean. They both end up on the floor, and they leave it there. And then the dad that they were babysitting for comes in, finds it. He goes, chicken. Picks up the pieces, broken. Then rubber bands it back together and puts it in the fridge.
Yeah, it literally fit perfectly back together. And I like how right before Julie gets murdered, she's the first victim in this movie. Her boyfriend comes into the bed and he goes, Julie, you're not responding to my manliness.
Yep.
As he's like caressing her arm. But even before that, the killer, I forgot to mention, the killer goes through this desk that just so happens to be full of weapons.
Yeah, it's like all the weapons from Clue are laid out perfectly for him.
And he picks out a paperclip.
Yep.
And he stabs Julie in the face with a paperclip over and over.
Well, several of them. He's got a face full of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, I mean...
But he carries the whole box up with him.
Yeah. As he's going up the stairs and...
He's like... And you're seeing, like, the killer's point of view. You never see his face, but you see, like, his hands and his feet. He's wearing, like, green rubber gloves and big black scary boots and stuff. But, like, he's going up there. He's like... And they keep cutting back upstairs and back to him. And he's finally like... All these stairs. I hope I don't die first.
And then he sticks his hand in gum.
He's like, oh, whose gum is this? Oh, sugarless. And then, like, he gets both his feet in it, too, and has to abandon his boots on the stairs.
While the voice of the person, what did you say the person's name was?
Richard Brando.
Richard Brando. It definitely sounded like comedian Fred Stoller.
Well, maybe he was doing...
This is what Fred Stoller looks like, if you don't know who Fred Stoller is. Really funny comedian. He's been in, like, he's like a character actor. He has, like, a... He has a book out now, even. It's called Maybe We'll Have You Back, because he's just been, like, an extra in, like, small little parts forever.
Oh, is he real good at, like, doing other people's voices and all that?
I think he's done some voices here and there. He was in,
Was he in the Comedy Central movie Porn and Chicken?
I have no idea.
I think I remember him being in that. He was, like, doing, like, this really good Jimmy Stewart voice in there.
He was in, like, Austin Powers as, like, a small role. He was in Dumb and Dumber. He's the guy outside the phone booth. It gets punched in the face where he's like, I need to use it now. Anyways, his voice literally sounded like the guy who was the breather. Hmm. Like the way he talked, everything. I was just like, man, this sounds just like Fred Stoller. But that's just besides the point. And you were talking about the parents before they discover both bodies. And they go, hope no one was murdered in our bed.
Yeah, right before they even come into the house.
Like, okay. Yeah, and the murders happen in twos, always. It's always a couple having sex, and the woman always gets murdered, like, with a weapon of some sort.
Yeah.
And the man always gets trash bagged.
Yeah, put in a trash bag, tied shut, and supposedly you can't fight your way out of there to avoid suffocating.
One of the easiest things to ever rip open is a trash bag. So,
especially back in the 80s when they were having to do commercials like, hefty, 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 wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Apparently garbage bags broke more than condoms back then.
Well, like, even now, I think you could go through. They got those ones that are, like, super tough, but even if you just stick your finger through the fucking thing, it's gonna rip open. And... like, if they just put the garbage bag over your head, then you're probably going to die. If they tie a garbage bag around your head, you're not breathing, you're going to die. But to be fully engulfed in a garbage bag, like, massive dumpster-sized garbage bag.
Engulfed in a garbage bag.
And the person who's, to kind of get, it's something that happens later on, but it doesn't fucking matter. We're going to spoil it anyways. The person doing the killing of the woman is not the same person that's killing the men. But the person,
well, so we're told, things kind of start to fall apart after this revelation.
Yes,
in a big way.
But the person killing the women, who, to my understanding, is the principal of the school, and the person killing the men, to my understanding, is Mrs. Mumsley.
Yeah, Miss Mumsley.
Miss Mumsley. But she says that she's killing the men, and the person killing the women doesn't know that she's killing the men.
Yeah.
But it happens, like, within a span of maybe five minutes is generous.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I'm kind of confused. I mean, it's a comedy, so whatever. Fucking forget it. It's a parody. But it's just, like, that was weird. And then, like, you thought maybe the killer was
Hardy,
who is Toby's friend. But that is revealed at the very end, but that's a different reality. The end kind of gets...
Yeah, well, we'll save it.
But, yeah, but, like, to explain why there's, like, a death this way and a death this way, I wanted to get that out of the... Like, get that out of the way. Like, there's two people doing it, and...
Well, you didn't even necessarily have to know that. That could still be, like, a weird serial killer's thing. Like,
yeah,
I kill the women like this, I kill the men like this.
And it was kind of weird how they don't... Yeah, I mean, you think the whole time it's just one person, and apparently it's maybe two... It's kind of like Dan says, it falls apart.
You know what else is funny? There's, the final body count is 13 and a half, but they never count the poor African exchange student who the principal and them get to crawl into a trash bag and suffocate because they forget about him.
He is one of the, like, ghost zombie people at the end when Toby's running through the hallways.
I didn't know if that was him or the guy that got killed on the float.
No, it was him because he had the dashiki he on that he was
but
wearing.
They didn't count him.
No.
And I was like, oh my god, this poor kid.
Well, technically he didn't die by the hands of the breather.
Still, like, the body count is, that should be for the whole movie. And
yeah,
you know.
true. And also that woman who was screaming about everything else, she has no reaction to when they find the bodies.
Oh yeah, she just goes, huh. Only it's a shame.
Okay.
And her husband comes in. Oh, God!
And I love when they're at the funeral. For some reason, the principal...
I believe it's the next day. It doesn't say the next day, but I feel like in this movie, it's the very next morning.
It's the next day. And the principal's giving this big speech for whatever reason.
Yeah, like, the whole school's there. All the faculty, all the students.
And it looked like they were, like, outside, like, the school almost. Like, across the street from the school.
The marching band, the cheerleaders, they're all there.
Yeah, and for some reason, the principal's giving this speech, but he's like, all these activities... The big panty raid.
Hold on. First, he's like, as hard as it is, it's hard for me to look down on the corpses of two former students. I bet it's no picnic for their parents either. But then, yeah, he mentions, like, now might be a good time to complain about all the budget cuts that have forced us to have all our extracurricular activities in one day. And then he's like, the big parade, the big poker game. The big race, the big yearbook signing party, the big panty raid, the big tree trimming.
Oh, tree trimming.
Yeah.
All right. I thought he said train trimming, and I thought they meant, like, hair. like pubic hair.
I could see that, too, though.
Like, I literally thought he said train trimming. I was
at one point, they say, oh, the killer's obviously going after people who are having sex. And one of the teachers goes, in that case, the whole senior class is in danger.
The full funeral was very odd. It was, and then the couple that gets murdered next.
Oh, then the cheerleaders, he has them go and lead a cheer. They're like, give me a boo, give me a hoo, boo.
Yeah. And then this is when you're first introduced to the janitor guy, and he was right off the bat, I was like, this guy's just fucking weird me out. And I didn't even know he was a janitor. I literally just put, what the fuck, janitor guy. Assumed he was the janitor. He just looked like a janitor, which is, janitorspenis.com.
Yes.
Throwing that out there.
Maybe we could find him on there. Maybe our friend Pat can help us.
Yeah.
Help us find the stick.
Maybe he works
on janitor's
penis. Maybe he works with him. I'm like, do you work with a guy called The Stick? And that's just his name? What if it says The Stick on his birth certificate? Like, he's born and they're like, what do we call him?
I wonder if it says The Stick on his stick.
Maybe his last name is Stick and his first name is The.
So on official forms, it would be like Stick, comma, The. Stick the what? Stick it. stick the blank in her? I don't know.
I don't know what his middle name would be, though.
Diseased?
The diseased?
Don't forget Julie's boyfriend, like, oh, I'm clean. Besides, you can't wash off herpes. Ba-dum-bum.
And apparently, in the men's bathroom at this high school, there's just a stash of condoms.
Oh yeah,
like a communal stash of condoms, in not in wrappers or anything like that. Just out. Well, I mean, maybe he took the wrapper off,
right?
But he walked back into the fucking room with
Bertha's boyfriend wants to do her. He's just like, oh my god, here now. He's like, I can't help it. Funerals get me hot. So they try to sneak off to the car, finds out he doesn't have a condom. He's like, I'll be right back. I'll get foam and rubbers. He comes back with a big paper shopping bag overflowing with, like, open condoms, just, like, condoms spilling everywhere.
Maybe he must have got them from the stash in the men's bathroom.
He goes, don't start without me. And she gets murdered by the killer with a wooden horse head bookend. And she ends up laying back in the seat, like, legs spread.
Like there's not even any blood or anything. Yeah. They mention this in the movie halfway through. There's, like, a little PSA by a guy at a desk, which reminds me of there's a movie I have called Run, Ronnie, Run, and it's a Mr. Show movie, and in the middle they do this thing about, like, oh, we couldn't let you hear what was about to be said. So instead, there's, like, the same type of deal, a guy sitting at a desk and gives a speech about censorship. But this movie, the censorship speech was, no boobs, no blood. Fuck you.
Yeah, he's like, R-rated movies are more popular with moviegoers, and you'd have to have blood, full frontal nudity, or something else, or swear, or so. I'd just like to take this opportunity to say, fuck you, and then flash the R-rated.
I was like, come on, no boobs in a movie like this?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I honestly thought there were, so I went back and watched it again, like, huh. I
guess just chicks no boobs. And bras, that's about it. I mean, you get Toby in some slutty outfits later on, so, you know. But I liked the one character, two characters I really liked in this movie were the janitor, Malvert. They like I said, I kept writing down Malford all the time. And the shop teacher.
Mr. Dumpkin.
Yeah, Mr. Dumpkin. But I also liked that one chick, she ends up dying towards the end with the military guy. She's just like, I'm going to slit my face.
Hattie the prom queen, or hopeful prom queen. She's like, I'm going to be beautiful forever. Like, no, you're not. She's like, oh, yeah, I've got these saved up for the first sign of wrinkles. What is it? Cyanide capsules. Yeah. Death before disfigurement. And then when she isn't awarded the crown, she's like, oh, I want to slash my face.
Yeah.
If I can't be the prettiest girl in school, I want to be the ugliest.
And she even parked in the handicapped spot. And she said that it was because she's ugly on the inside.
No, she said it was a blind guy and a guy in a wheelchair fighting over the handicap spot. Then she zooms in and takes it, and then she goes, oh, incredible beauty can be a handicap too, you know.
Oh, I thought she said something about being ugly on the inside or something. it was a handicap.
But I
did love how the blind guy was driving a car with a seeing eye dog.
No, his dog was driving the car.
Yeah, the dog was driving.
And his name was Charles Ray.
And then the guy in the wheelchair also driving the car.
And they're fighting over it, and then the guy in the wheelchair, Wheels was his name, he goes, hey, I'm more handicapped than you, I can't even make love to a woman. Then the blind guy, Charles Ray, goes, yeah, I can't even find one.
Every time you say Charles Ray, all I can think about is Child's Play. Charles Lee Ray, that was Chucky.
Oh, okay.
That was Chucky's name. Well, yeah, Charles Lee Ray. That's literally, like, it keeps going through my head. The horsehead bookend thing was like you mentioned that was the woman's death. And then her boyfriend gets bagged, and there wasn't much reaction over their bodies being found. Toby, that was about it. She runs over to the car.
I guess everybody else had to get back to school for the big day.
Yeah.
The final day.
Yeah, and the funeral just happened right on the other side. It was just like, yeah, these people died. Body counts at four now. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, you get a counter on the screen, like, different things pop up to let you know, like, door unlocked.
Yeah, multiple times. Window.
Also, window open.
Yeah, or all or, the time there was...
I'll go get some condoms, I'll be right back. Big mistake.
Yeah, flashing on the screen constantly. I thought that was pretty funny as well. When the shop teacher, when we're first introduced to him, he's going on and on about these horsehead bookends.
It's the only thing they seem to do in shop class.
Yeah, he's obsessed with them. He even beats off... Wow.
Yeah, he's basically uses making horsehead bookends as a substitute for sex.
Yeah, he beats off while making one later on in the movie. And when he's yelling at Toby in the class, he's like, when for talking in class, he's like, Miss shouldn't be in this class anyways.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, because this is not all that long after, you know, women were, like, allowed into shop classes, because before that they weren't. And I remember my mom talking to my actual shop teacher about that, so this wasn't that far removed from that. And he's like, now that the right people are running this country again, you're going to get the hell out of here. I'll sit down and make horse heads. But yeah, like, Little Miss shouldn't even be in this class anyway. Little Miss shouldn't even be on the float anyway.
Yeah, and and surely this is probably one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, was the locker room scene where the breather goes in. And he's like, oh, yeah, girls' sweat gets me hot. Yeah. Well, he's like, sweat. Yeah. Girls.
Boobies.
Boobies. Girls' sweat. Yeah. Like, he mentioned sweat and girls separately and then combined, like, them together.
I'm taking it out. I'm going to do what my mommy told me not to do.
And it only lasted 1 minute.
Yeah.
He literally beat up for one minute.
He passes out afterwards, then wakes up to start stalking Toby, because all the other girls left, and she's wearing a sweater.
By the way, how did nobody hear him behind the racks he was in? He was so loud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
They're too busy hearing Patty be a bitch, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
But Toby's wearing a sweater with a button that just says no. She takes it off on her shirt, like, just say no. And then on her bra strap underneath, for the last time, I said no.
Yes. Yes. I loved that. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, she'd make a great feminazi.
Toby?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time. They could have had that as her character in this, if they wanted to. The parade, though, was the most sincere parade to ever exist, according to the principal. I don't know why. I guess just because there were murders that happened.
Like, this isn't the greatest parade, but it is the greatest parade that's going on, or that's been on the street at this moment.
And I love how the wheelchair guy and blind guy, even though they're constantly arguing with each other, seem to constantly just hang out together as well. And the wheelchair guy is telling the blind guy all the wrong things that are happening in the parade.
Hey, oh yeah, all the prom queen candidates are taking their tops off. And like, oh man, this sounds so hot. Or like, at the football game, he purposely, like, takes them out in the parking lot. And, oh man, I can't believe you got these great seats, 50-yard line.
Yeah. And you know what's a running joke in this movie is, I didn't realize it until now, you mentioned it a few times, and I see it written down multiple times, is that things make people hot.
Yep.
Like, funerals make me hot, and the parade, bulls get me hot.
Yeah, he goes, hollow bulls make me hot.
And then at the end, Toby says, being boring makes me hot.
Yeah.
Like, it's a constant, like, theme going, a running joke, that, like, these random-ass things make people hot. Because, yeah, the
football game, when they go under
the black couple, they have sex inside the float.
Right.
And they end up dying.
At the football game, they go under the bleachers and there's all this disgusting garbage falling down. And the chick complains about that. He goes, I can't help it. Garbage gets me hot.
Yeah. It's just constantly. And what does Toby say something about killing herself? I wrote down Toby equals kill herself. And I don't know why I wrote that down.
Huh.
She said something about, like, oh, I'd rather kill myself. And it was a really offhand and weird.
Oh, she said, they're questioning her because apparently, like, the principal and the school faculty are completely in charge of this investigation. There's not one cop in this
entire
movie.
There's the one, the sheriff guy.
Oh, right.
He's the one wearing the Coors shirt.
At the football game. And then he just sends everybody home. Like, all right, anybody that hasn't been arrested for a crime before, go home. Okay, anybody that had no motive in this case, go home. It just leaves Malvert and, like, well, everybody whose parents are of the same sex, go home.
Yeah, that was a weird question. there were quite a few, like, gay jokes in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, random, like,
Miss Mumsley's trying to convince Malvert not to reproduce. She's like, you know, I'd stay away from the girls. They don't even like you anyway. Homosexuality is the up-and-coming thing.
Yeah, and then the one girl, they even say that she's a dyke. Her name was, like,
Miss Van Dyke.
Miss Van Dyke.
What's in a name? Everything. But they also, on the parade float, they're like, we have our prom queen candidates, or what's left of them anyway, and here's our one male queen candidate. This obvious gay guy is wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm a pepper.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the Dr. Pepper we forgot to mention.
Right.
There's
Dr. Pepper's all over this
movie. Dr. Pepper's all over this
movie. Not, like, in an insulting way, like, it's just there, but they were clearly sponsored by them. They have a big thank you list to corporations.
Yeah, there's Dr. Pepper. Everyone's drinking Dr. Pepper. The concession people at the game are wearing Dr. Pepper hats. Majority of the people at the football game are wearing I'm a Pepper t-shirts. So, like, Dr. Pepper, like, galore.
I didn't realize that was a Dr. Pepper shirt. I thought that was just, I'm a Pepper.
It's a Dr. Pepper shirt, which was, like, a thing back then. And now they're bringing it back, even though you've seen the commercials.
No, I haven't.
I'm a whatever. Yeah. And you can literally go online and get the shirt and put whatever you want on it.
Huh.
And people have put, like, insanely absurd and rude and just obscene things on the shirts. And
literally, I'm a genital mutilator.
Yeah, you could put that and they will print it on a shirt and give it to you. Like, no joke. I've seen them on Reddit and
Okay,
like
but
that.
Getting back to the Toby kill herself thing, they're questioning her in the office, like, did you commit these murders? She's like, no, I wouldn't kill anyone. I'd rather kill myself. And she's like, I wouldn't kill a fly. And a fly comes buzzing in, she kills it.
Oh, yeah. But I just love that. I'd rather kill myself than kill somebody else. And then when she's crying the one time, the school psychiatrist or whatever, hands her a box of tissues, and she wipes her tears with the box.
Well, it's just the empty box. He goes, sorry, I'm out of Kleenex. Maybe this will help. And she wipes up the box. Then he tears off, like, a note card from his Rolodex, and she uses that. And then...
Well, he goes to give her a reference.
Oh,
he goes,
right.
Well, maybe this person might be able to help you, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, thanks. And then, like, he pulls out a pipe. He doesn't smoke it. He's just sort of, like, chewing on it. And he's like, here. And then she wipes her tears with the pipe.
And then he mentions that he wants her to call her daddy.
Yeah, he's like, doctor's too formal. Call me daddy. Like, okay, daddy. And
then she tells a story about her dad. And then he's like, don't call me daddy anymore.
Yuck, it's like my father. He's like, really? Tell me about your father. Did you like yuck? Or yuck, my father. And tell me about your father. Did you like yuck? And she's like, he told me that sex was bad, and then he'd lock me in my room with him in there. And what about your mother? What did she say about this? She said sex was bad too, but only with my father. With everyone else, she said it was great.
Yeah, and then he's like, don't call me daddy anymore. I don't want to be part of this. Yeah.
But then he's so off on his own thing. He's like, super weird, obsessive compulsive, and talking about how he really just wants to use this as a springboard to fame for himself. And I just need the one right case, a serial killer or somebody with multiple personalities. And on the way out, he's like, bye, Sybil. I mean, what's her name? Or Toby, there we go.
What was the name of the high school?
La Mob High.
La Mob High.
L-A-M-A-B. Yeah. They spell it out.
La Mob High. And on the La Mob High football team, there was a small child.
Oh, there were several children.
Yeah, who the kid at one point, the whole team is knocked down by the other opposing
team.
The
kids knocked down by full-grown high school seniors, probably.
And then the one kid just walks by. Oh, yeah, what's up, man?
Well, it was all black guys that tackled the kids, and then they let him by because he was black.
Yeah.
And, like, they let him by just enough then, like, make a show of chasing him, but I guess he still makes a touchdown.
Yeah.
And the couple gets killed under the bleachers and then dumped on the field. Somehow nobody sees this until the ref notices, like, dead body on the field, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah. Only just the 15-yard penalty. Keep playing. Also... Another thing I loved Malvert is because his girlfriend was a blow-up doll.
And later in the movie, she's got sex kills on her stomach.
Who blow-up doll who was at the football game with him, she ends up floating away.
Blown up with helium, I guess.
And as she floats away, he yells, slut!
Yep.
I thought that was great. We were talking about ads, Coors, Dr. Pepper. There's also Kawasaki ads all over the football field and bleachers. Thought that was kind of weird to have at a football game, but whatever, you know, they need to make their money somehow, I suppose.
Let's see, what was probably missed, because there was lots of funny stuff that was, like, more in the background, and, like, other people would talk over it, and you really got to listen to hear it, but in shop class... There's a sign that says, let's get lathed, like a wood lathe.
Yeah,
like,
and then in the principal's office is a sign that says, those who can do, those who can't teach.
But Mr. Dumpkin's also saying, while Toby's talking about trying to investigate, he's like, all you need in life is the Horsehead Bookend. You don't need drugs, don't need sex, don't need friends, You don't even need your parents. Just horse heads.
Yeah, he had a very... For some reason, he had a Boston... Well, I mean, he was probably from Boston. The actor was. But
I saw somebody with a Boston University shirt in the crowd at the football game,
but
too.
But nobody else had any sort of Boston accent, except for the shop teacher. But I still thought he was a great character. Very creepy. Very weird. Speaking of things on the wall, the nurse's office had a lot of weird things on the wall. It's like poster boards with like condoms tacked to them.
Condom
and
diaphragm.
Yeah, really weird. And why did they make the joke about Cleveland smelling? Is that like a thing?
I don't know. Maybe.
She's like, oh, it smells like Cleveland.
I've heard people talk bad about Cleveland before. Like, oh, like Cleveland that. Or at the end of Buffy, after they finally close the Hellmouth in Sunnydale. Like, oh, what do we do now? And Giles is like, oh, there's another Hellmouth in Cleveland. Like, oh, that'd explain a lot.
But Cleveland rocks.
I don't know.
Cleveland rocks. Like,
right, but why Mimi lives there.
But why would Drew Carey lie to us? Told us Cleveland rocks. But does Cleveland rock enough to have your nuts put between a horse head bookends? Because
Mr. Dumpkin, the shop teacher, who sleeps with his nuts between horse head bookends.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. What the fuck is going on here? And so the basically the end of this, a lot of the end of this movie takes place at prom, which Toby goes in disguise as a blonde. Thought she looked kind of hotter as a blonde, even though the wig was kind of shitty.
Yeah.
She's obviously dressed more sexy in that.
And
with balloons
stuffed in her bra.
But just her boobs.
And they keep making the sound effect every time somebody touches them, too.
The thing is, though, she didn't want to look out of place.
Right.
But she didn't wear a dress to prom.
Right.
She wore, like, this black, like, with halter, like, this tube top. This black
I mean, it's still, I guess it's still.
She wore a black tube top and black leather pants. I thought maybe that was the joke. I don't know. But, like, she's like, kept saying how she didn't want to look out of place.
And, yeah, instead, and, just
and
attract
even before,
everybody's
even
attention.
Before they went in, I was just like, well, that's going to make you look different. Everybody's going to.
And the guys in the background that walk up on her, oh, hey, look at the balloons on her.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was. One. Other than the end being a huge question, my other huge question was, what was with the random old guy at the prom?
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know.
She walks in looking all hot, and this random old dude who's dancing with what looks to be a prom, like some punk-looking girl.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, and she even had a dress on, so that was kind of like, just like, why are you not going to wear a dress to the prom? And
well, I thought it was weird that she insisted on going in by herself, like, we can't go in together, Hardy. Everybody knows I'm the only friend you
have.
Yeah,
like, just fucking put the guy down, why don't you? And, yeah, but this random old guy keeps checking her out, and then his, like, date, I guess, I'm going to say date, it is weird to say, but a date. Goes, hey, what are you looking at? And he just goes, oh, and stops looking. That's it. There's just this random old guy at the prom dancing with this girl, and he has this little moment, and it was very weird.
A few more little things I want to sprinkle in before we get into the ending. Dagmar was her name, the black girl killed on the float. She's killed with an eggplant. He approaches her with an eggplant, like, you like eggplant? It was just seen laying on the ground next to her. Like, there wasn't a bite out of it, so he didn't, like, shove it down her throat to choke her. They're not heavy enough to beat somebody to death.
No.
So how did he kill
none
her?
Of, none
death
of the,
by eggplant. Inexplicable.
None
I
of the murder
it.
Weapons in this movie make any sense.
But he,
none
he
of them
stuffs
could
a,
kill on the person.
He stuffs a chalky eraser in the girl's mouth at the football game, Joan, under the bleachers. And her boyfriend comes back. He goes, what's this white powder? He tastes it. Ugh, cut with chalk.
I must have missed that. I must have missed that line. Damn. What was with the military guy?
I just think he was in ROTC, but he just took it horribly, horribly seriously.
Yeah,
like everybody does everything in this movie.
Yeah,
but
I
then
thought
when,
the same thing. But there were no other ROTC
yeah,
people at the
I know.
School, and it
but
was kind of weird.
He has like a gun with live ammunition
yeah.
he takes with him everywhere.
Yeah.
But when they have the bodies from the football game in the nurse's office, they've got them covered in sheets, and Toby's under there. And then I thought she farts, but maybe it wasn't her.
Yeah,
and
I kept thinking it was her, too.
Then the nurse says, like, oh, what was that? And she's like, it's a well-known fact that dead bodies pass gas and urinate themselves and even have erections after they're just after they've died.
And a really weird part right there was Toby willingly climbed in there.
Yeah.
And then after the farts happen, she like is sleeping. And then she wakes up and goes, "Where am I?" And I thought,
I guess the farts were just that bad.
I thought maybe either that or that they had filmed two different scenes for this, and they filmed one where she just ended up in there, and then they just
That's when they had the Cleveland joke, because I guess the farts are just so terrible, because even Dumpkin was saying, like, oh, God, who had beans? And then, you know, like, I guess she passed out because the body kept farting, and he wakes her up, she's like, oh, smells like Cleveland. But the nurse goes, yeah, bodies can fart, and, like, there's an old Welch saying, dead men tell no tales, but they fart.
I like the line, we're talking about the military guy, I like him at the dance, where he's like, they're trying to figure out if this girl, who is Toby, actually is Toby, and yes. He goes, I'll dance with her, if I don't get a hard on, it'll definitely be her. Which I thought was like, the fuck, she's hot. Well, I guess she doesn't dress, like,
right,
as sexy, so she kind of dresses down, so you wouldn't, I guess, maybe know how hot she is, but she was pretty good looking, so I don't know, but I thought that line was hilarious.
At that point, then it turns out there's only one prom candidate left, Patty, the one who wants it the most anyway. But then Miss Mumsley decides, oh, since there's only one candidate and no real competition, I'm going to give the prom queen crown to the principal.
Yeah, and I love how somebody yelled out, teachers suck!
Yeah!
And then when they give the crown to him, and then the one girl says something about slashing her face, her boyfriend, the military guy, he's like, well, yeah, I have the best body in this school. Like, just this random-ass comment about his body.
So then he immediately pulls her into the shop classroom so that they could have sex to make up for it. And then, like, she's all like, I don't know, I don't like this, it's making me nervous, we shouldn't be doing this here. He's just like, oh, come on, let's get this over with already before you change your mind. And she obviously doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, so, and he goes and gets a condom at the communal
stash high up school. In the men's room behind the toilet.
Yeah, he's like, a little bit from The Godfather. And, the gun joke, nobody's ever seen The Godfather. But, he comes back and she's dead. How did she die again? The deaths in this movie.
The killer gave her, like, the crown upside down, stabbed into her head.
That was probably one of the more halfway decent deaths, even though you didn't get to really see much. But overall, I mean, I know it's a parody, but the deaths in this movie were pretty terrible. Like, okay, even though it's eggplant, I would have loved to see how, like, him just bashing her in the head with the eggplant.
No, I like it because, like, it wouldn't work. Eggplants are far too soft.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, how could this have happened? Like, there wasn't a bite out of it, so we didn't choke her with it. So it's just like, how did this even happen? I don't know. She's just dead.
But he comes back with the condom.
Right.
And realizes she's dead.
Yeah.
And
he goes,
yeah,
mother of God and country, you're dead. Well, how about one for old time's sake? And then he starts hearing the breather come up on him. He's like, hey, do you mind? I'm trying to get laid here.
Yeah, literally just gonna fuck this dead body.
So he had, like, his military stripes on the jacket, his uniform jacket, and then on the shirt underneath, which, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but then he had it tattooed on his arm when he took his shirt off.
Yeah,
then
when
he pulls out the condom, the stripes are on the condom, too.
And
government issued.
Yeah, and we kind of touched on this a little bit. Why garbage bag the guys? Like, why even do that?
The person was just, oh, sex is so bad and dirty, I'm taking out the trash.
And then I was really bummed out when the teacher, who, I don't know if it was like a thing about him being gay possibly, but at one point he went into the closet and then came out of the closet. And went back into the closet. And I thought maybe it was a gay joke just since they had plenty of other gay jokes throughout the movie. But I was sad to see that he died. And his death was so uneventful. As in, that was the only part I kind of didn't like in the movie was that scene. The conversation between him and the breather, I felt it went a little too long.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of funny at first. He's like, oh, don't do it. And then it just kept going, and they were like, they needed to fill a little bit more time, because this movie's not even an hour and a half. It's, like, just shy of, like...
Yeah, actually, there's a deleted scene that they had to put back in when they broadcast it on USA. They have the scene up on YouTube. You could look, like, student bodies missing scene. When they went to air this on USA, you know, normally they cut stuff out of movies, like the movie was short, so they had to put this back in so it would fit the time.
Yeah, because, yeah, it doesn't even, not even a full hour and a half. But
he was talking about, oh, put that saw away, clean it up, oil it, and then he's like, I guess, he said something about, like, reading a book. He's like, I guess a person like you doesn't have much time for reading. What with your schedule? He goes, only smut.
And I also love that we learned that it's okay, in whatever state that they lived in, it's okay in county and town or whatever, it's okay to kill 11 people,
yeah, he's
but
like,
no more.
You've already killed 10 people. 11's the legal limit in this county.
Yeah, and then he gets hit in the head, and then it was over. And
yeah,
he died.
He just bopped on the head, like,
yeah, the
comedically.
Boom. Yeah.
And the body count is 11, in parentheses, no longer a suspect.
I liked when Hardy was going through Mrs. Mumsley's desk, and there was a vibrator.
Yeah, big old vibrator. A big white one.
And when the principal walks in on Toby going through all his stuff, and he has all these pictures of the girls, and it says, like, whore and slut, and all this stuff over him, and he has all kinds of things, that gloves. So that he had all that stuff in his thing, mm-hmm. So that's why I'm assuming he was one of the murderers, and he tries to murder Toby as well. He takes his clothes off, he wants to bang her, he has a small interaction with her earlier in the movie, where they're, like, flirting back and forth, where she's trying to get the keys. And Malvert helps her get the keys with his long, lengthy arms, and he's like,
and
whoa!
His cheese.
Yeah.
He keeps cheese in his underwear to attract mice, and then he's like, Malvert, I said get his keys, not his cheese. Then he pulls up the keys, too.
And the principal takes his clothes off. He literally has the longest boxers ever.
Oh, yeah, and it, like, hiked up so far, too. It's ridiculous. And he's got I Heart New York on his chest.
I laughed at that, but I was just like, all right, I love New York. It always reminded me, I think it was either in Spy Hard, or I think it was in Wrongfully Accused, both Leslie Nielsen movies, but there's a guy in it that has a shirt on that says I Heart to Party. And he gets, like, shot and stabbed numerous times throughout the movie. Like, he just keeps coming up in the movie. Like, he gets stabbed with a knife, with a sword at first. And then later on, he has a sword in him. He's like, ah! And he's, like, still partying. And then he gets shot, and he's, like, still partying.
He parties harder than Slurms McKenzie.
That is very true. But Slurms died doing what he loved to do.
Well, if Slurms really loved it that much, he'd have still been partying after he was dead. Like Bender in human form.
Woo! Oh, that's just the air seeping out of the fat pockets. and we also learn in this scene that the Labamum, what was it called? I forgot what the fucking name of this.
Lamob High.
For some reason, I thought it was L-A-B. Anyways,
Labamba.
Labamba High. They have a typing trophy.
Yeah.
The only trophy the school had, because she goes, I didn't know the school had a trophy.
Yeah, in 20 years, which is also kind of weird, the school has only been around 20 years. It seems like it's a fairly established neighborhood. But anyway, like, yeah, in 20 years, yeah, the typing team really came through for us.
And then this is where things start to fall apart.
Well, first of all, the principal reveals his, you know, true corrupt self. He's like, Principal Peters, you're naked. He's like, yes, Toby. All these years, I've been secretly naked underneath my clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Secretly
he's
naked.
He's coming at her with, like, this this very sharp-looking trophy. And retired the typewriter trophy. He's coming at her, but earlier she'd spilled, like, glass marbles, because God knows those belong in his office, all over the floor. He slips and falls on him just like that. Looks like he gets stabbed, like, right through the groin, too, with the thing.
Yeah.
Like, just like that, he's instantly
dead. It went right
dead.
Through him, too. You could see the other end sticking out his back.
It says, 12, the trophy retires the principal.
Yeah. And then, this is where, like I said, this is where it starts falling apart, because this is where, okay, the principal is the killer. And then there's teachers, multiple teachers, outside the office talking about killing the students. It's Mrs. Mumsley, and she's talking to, like, two other people. And
I thought they were talking about looking for Toby, like, still continuing their investigation.
And then somebody said killing her.
Oh.
So I was like,
oh, right, because they thought it was her. Like, oh, she deserves to die for this. They're obviously in charge of this investigation.
Yeah.
I guess they're judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah, and then it's revealed, because she goes to find Hardy, and he's dead. There's a glove in his mouth. That's how he died. And the only guy not garbage bagged.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, and then Mrs. Mumsley reveals that she's the killer as well, but her and the principal were in on it, because she says that she's his mother. Well, she goes, it's my son, and then Toby goes, oh, so it's you're his mother, and she goes, no, I'm his father.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
That's when it really gets weird. And then she comes at Toby with a garbage bag for some reason, goes, hold still while I kill you. I'm an old woman with arthritis.
Yeah, and then, like, so she's been killing the men the whole time without her son, who's been killing the women, knowing.
Oh, is she saying that the principal was her son? Oh, yes. That's so weird, because yes. I thought all this time that Hardy was her son, which would have made sense, but...
Oh, no, she was really old. So it was like, and then the context of what they were talking about, I rewound it even, they're talking about the principal, because she mentions that he's dead.
Okay.
So the principal was her son. And then there's this movie just gets weird. It just, like, it takes this turn, and I don't really understand what was going on at this point, where Toby's running through the hallways.
And, like, and every person who died is back is, like, sort of like a ghost-faced zombie.
Yeah, and then, like, the Mrs. Mumsley's, like, chasing her in a trash can.
Yeah, like, just her face sticking out of, like, the opening.
And I, like, literally was just like, what is going on? And then the shop teacher is like, this way. She jumps out the window. Thought it was an awesome jumping out the window scene.
Yeah, like a third or fourth story window, yeah. Like, crashes through the window. At that point, I just thought, like, she's just killing herself and she's just gonna die.
Or I thought maybe it was gonna be, like, the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not as high as a drop, but the girl at the end jumps out the window and runs off.
Oh.
And, like, as Leatherface chases her, I thought that was kind of gonna be the same type of deal. And then it's all of a sudden Toby's in the hospital and Hardy's there, and it's like, okay, didn't he just die? Oh, wait, this is all a dream, because she had swine flu. So right. She had swine flu, so that caused her to have this insane dream. And the reason she had swine flu was because of sexual repression.
Oh, that was coming from Dr. Sigmund, and we all know what a trusted authority he is.
Well, she even says it. She goes, well, all this sexual repression that caused me swine flu. And so then her and her... I don't even understand what's going on at this point, because...
At this point,
you think it was all a dream. So then the characters were all flip-flopped, like, the military guy's gay, the beautiful girl is nerdy and ugly, Toby's really the one beautiful girl, the one... Mrs. Mumsley's a man.
Hardy isn't as dorky. Mr. Dumpkin is the French teacher. Monsieur Dumpshade.
The principal's the janitor.
And the janitor's the principal.
The janitor's the principal, who's English. And
Mr. Mumsley really is a man.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Melvert is English apparently all of a sudden.
Yeah,
and clearly voiced over. I don't think that was him. Didn't seem like it was actually him talking. And then Toby and Hardy go out to the woods.
Well, after she recovers,
and they're getting ready to have sex. She still has the no pins on.
Yeah,
and they're about to have sex, and then Hardy puts on gloves and boots. This is where I don't understand what's going on. If that was all a dream and there was no killer, how is he the killer and he knows about the gloves and the boots?
After Toby seemingly dies, it says 1 hour later, she's just been buried now too, and Dr. Sigmund is speaking, and he's like, I know it's not normal for a psychiatrist to speak at a funeral, but he's like, seems Toby has become the latest victim, so apparently people really were dying in their world, because there are fresh graves there too.
Yeah, but... Yeah, in their world, I guess people were dying, but all the people who had died are there at the funeral.
Yeah, but, I don't know, not every last person who was killed was there, so maybe some of those people had been being killed.
Yeah, but some of the people, like the military guy,
right.
And then the teacher, and the principal, and whoever else. And then Hardy's saying his goodbyes, and he's saying that he had to kill her for whatever reason, and all of a sudden, zombie Toby... arm comes out of the grave, and that's how the movie ends.
Yeah, she starts choking him, and then, yeah. Yeah, it's very weird.
It's a very... For a movie that I thought was hilarious, and had this... It had a nice pace to it and everything, and it was funny. I feel like the end... I don't know what... I just don't understand.
Yeah,
when making it, did they, like... Were they writing it on the spot, and then they ran out of ideas?
I don't know.
And they just couldn't figure out, whoever wrote this just couldn't, they're really good at, like, writing parodies. Like, oh, we can make all this funny stuff, and ha-ha, well, I'm such a good writer, and, oh, but I just don't know how to end things.
See, I just wonder if they're trying to play up the whole, like, twist ending thing, like the original Friday the 13th, the killer's Jason's mom, the chick beheads her, it should be it, then she goes out on the lake, and then zombie Jason comes up and pulls her into the water, and then they wake her up and pull her out, and, no, it's okay, but, like, oh, you fell in there, did you find him, the boy? No, it was just you, and he's still there, like, you know.
Yeah, but that at least had a made sense ending where you understood that it wasn't all a dream. And
or was, like, it, though? Like, you could have, I could have seen people taking it, like, maybe it was a dream, and, you know, but,
well, when they decided to make, like,
oh, yeah, but at that point, movies. At that point, you didn't know there was going to be a sequel, so.
But, yeah, at least, though, but at least yeah, that movie had some closure with to it. Like, the, Mrs. Voorhees is dead, she was the killer, kind of made sense, and they didn't, it was that same thing, where, though, where they don't show her the whole time, it's that, at the time, that was, well, that was, like, the only one that had done that and was more popular, Friday. Because Texas Chainsaw had come out before Student Bodies, and but you saw the killer the whole time, or killers. And Nightmare on Elm Street, had that come out yet?
No.
No, it hadn't come out yet. So Halloween had come out, though, but you see Michael Myers the whole time. But a first-person view actually reminds me of this movie Maniac. I just the remake of an 80s movie called Maniac, Elijah Wood in it. And it's mainly first person. And not like camera, like, you know, he's filming it or some shit. It's just like he's super creepy. He's stalking these women and then killing them and scalping them and putting their scalps with the hair on these mannequins and, like, talking to these mannequins, and he puts them in their. It's pretty. And Elijah Wood is extra.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was really awesome, though. I thought it was a really. Especially for a remake. Yeah, and then the ending of this movie just.
I do love Dr. Sigmund's speech at the end. Well, sadly, Toby had severe social repression, which led to greater anxiety, which led to sexual repression, which led to greater psychological problems, which led to the greatest psychological problem of them all, death.
Yeah. Yeah, but overall, I did like this movie. Now I'm interested in who the stick was. I'm going to try to research this man.
This Slender Man.
So yeah, this myth stick. Maybe it was all a dream. We watched this movie. It was a.
No, I've seen this too many times for this to be a dream.
You dreamed.
I first saw this when I was like a little kid, like 5 or 6 years old or something.
And you saw it on USA?
No. My parents rented it and didn't know that it was a parody, and they were all pissed about it. Oh. And I was too young to, like, know.
I could definitely see this being played on USA.
Oh, yeah, no, it was.
Up all night, sure. I've never seen it before. I used to watch it all the time. So, promo movies for the first time and everything. So, but yeah, overall, I enjoyed Student Bodies. Thanks for recommending it, Dan. I thought it was hilarious. It was an interesting movie. So, next week, we're staying in the 80s. We're just inside the 80s. Now we're just on the outside of the 80s. 1989's My Mom's a Werewolf. It is on Netflix. You can watch it on there so that you can watch it and then listen to us discuss the insanity, I'm sure, that this movie is. The trailer looked ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this movie before. We only just watched the trailer right before we started recording here, but I don't know if it'll be good or bad, but...
Doesn't it seem to have too many big people in it? John Saxon's in it. He was in Nightmare on Elm Street. He plays Nancy's dad. In Nightmare on Elm Street, been in a ton of movies. Usually is a bad guy. John Saxon, and then Marshall Wallace also.
From The Simpsons. She's Mrs. Krabappel.
Yeah, she was in something else we watched. Because I know she was on Full House for a while.
Well, she
was in something we watched, though. I'll have to look it up for next week. But yeah.
Wasn't she in Ghoulies 3? Yeah,
she was the secretary or something. She totally was in Ghoulies 3, that's right. Wow, yeah, Marshall Wallace was in Ghoulies 3. Yeah, so, yeah, next week,
Mom's a werewolf.
Was it my mom or was my it mother?
Wait.
My mom's a werewolf. Got me. You got me. So, yeah, next week, Mother is having an identity crisis. My mom's a werewolf.
When most people's moms go through the big change, they don't try to stop it with a silver bullet.
This movie, it could be, I don't know. It's a comedy horror movie, and we've been doing some comedies lately, so we'll have to try to maybe switch it up. In the near future.
We'll do that.
But next week, My Mom's a Werewolf is on Netflix. Check it out. I'm sure it's going to be pretty ridiculous. So, for B-Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm DRC. And get off of there, mister. Shouldn't you be on my dick anyway?
Or, oh yeah, put that shit on my dick.
Oh, boobies. Oh, boobies. Oh.
It's the best of the worst. B-Movie Breakdown at the